I appreciate the poems and everything that brings back memories. Remember that whenever that I first began to realize I needed God, the back pew was actually my place where that I hid. Now, that's not to mean anybody who sits on the back pew is lost. I'm just speaking from personal experience. And actually, there was two reasons why. I figured that probably I could hide from the gaze of the preacher, and that that's what was causing my conviction. But also, I could make it out the door first, get to the car, and hope Mom and Dad came because the game was coming on at 12. So at any rate, wherever that you might be in this congregation, I pray that God blesses you in this service and that God directs and guides your life and that His Holy Spirit will minister to you in a way that would be pleasing unto Him. As we sing that last song, and that song, To God Be the Glory, is one that always kind of stirs my heart. And sometimes I'm always afraid I'm going to get beside myself, because I can just picture in heaven at this point, at this time, and in the realms of eternity, that they're giving honor and glory unto God for all of the things that He has done. And especially that they're giving honor and glory unto His Son, who paid the supreme price that was needed to redeem us unto God. I cannot even begin to imagine any other price that could have been paid, any other love that someone might have for humanity than to lay down His precious sinless life and taste death for every individual, and then overcome death, hell, and the grave and come forth the third day. I cannot even begin to imagine. In fact, I may try to write that down and remember it, that I can't even imagine the type of power that there is with Christ Jesus today. If you have your Bible with you, we want to encourage you to turn with us to two places. Okay, the first one is going to be Psalms chapter 27 and the last verse, the 14th verse. And then the second one is going to be 1 Thessalonians 5 and then the 16th through 18th verses. So it's Psalms 27, verse 14, and then 1 Thessalonians, verse 5, 6 through 18. Now, I know that spans from the Old Testament to the New Testament, but actually the same author, the same God, the same inspiration, the Holy Spirit inspired not just all of the writings that we find. I believe it was God breathed and God inspired, but also these two particular scriptures. Now, although that they are separated by the span of probably 1,000 years from David under the Apostle Paul, yet it tells me today that it's the same God. It's the same Lord. It's the same sovereign over all the universe. And as that song says, to God be the glory, I believe with all of my heart that even His word, our songs, our prayers, mixed together with that that is in heaven at this very moment, giving God the glory. David, who is the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ, through Joseph, the royal lineage, through Mary, her ancestor was Nathan, the same that was the son of David also. So you have parallel lines there. Paul the apostle, that was not considered by some to be an apostle, was called to be an apostle unto the Gentiles. That's unto us. And so we find these words as both of them speak of our attitude towards God. He says in Psalms chapter 27 and verse 14, he said, "Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord." Now we go over to what the Apostle Paul has to say. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 through 18, or those verses, 6 through 18. He says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ concerning you." Waiting and giving thanks. And our theme will come from those two thoughts: waiting in thanksgiving, and thanksgiving in our waiting. And we're coming up to a season that's just practically been forgotten, except that we get together with family, and we get together with loved ones, and we get together and we might watch a game on TV. But, you know, I pray for you today that it will, as for myself, be a time of giving thanks unto God. The first time that it was observed, it was to give thanks unto God. Then it was proclaimed later as a national holiday, I believe by the President Abraham Lincoln, a day of thanks, a day of getting honor, a day of gratitude unto God. And I want to, with all of my being today, to give honor and glory unto Him, not just for the material things of this life, but also for the greatest gift and for the greatest provision for life, eternal life, and that was God giving His Son as a sacrifice and shedding His blood to redeem us from sin and the hope of eternal life with God. Have you ever had to wait on people? Yes, I'm sure you have. Wives will say, "Yes, I've had to wait on that man when he goes into Bass Pro." And then conversely, the husband says, "Yes, I've had to wait on the wife while she tries on shoes." Now, I'm not criticizing either one. Do you see that I gave equal to both? But also, we wait in traffic. We wait in all kinds of things. We wait in the store line. We wait to be checked out. We wait to make payment on something that we have purchased or an obligation to pay on. But you know, there is a different kind of waiting that we wait today. And that is, we wait for our prayers. We wait upon God for His provision to us. And I think waiting is much more today than just the passing of time, just the sitting back, passively hoping, looking at watch, looking, you know, at the calendar, that sort of thing. But waiting goes far deeper than that today, especially in our service to God. I believe with all my heart that we wait upon God, not from the standpoint that we're upset with Him, that He hasn't answered prayer, but we wait upon God doing a certain thing. It is an active part on our part that we offer unto God. We wait upon God as we serve Him. We are servants under the Most High God. If you've ever read any of David's writings, or even the Apostle Paul, they always refer to themselves as being servants, a bondslave, waiting upon God, serving Him, not looking for anything in return, but just to wait upon God and just to be there that when He beckons and when He calls, that we are ready to answer. That's our station. That's what we do in life. It is where that we draw our strength. We draw strength from waiting on God and waiting for His command, or waiting to understand something about His being. We draw strength from that. We draw courage from that today. Our waiting upon God is not so much, as we said, passing time and just sitting by, but it is actively serving Him, coming to His beckon, searching the Scriptures. The Bible tells us in one place that Paul, in the book of Acts, commended a group of people by the name of the Bereans. Now, not the Bereans, the group we know today, but they were in Berea, and they searched the Scriptures. They looked into the Bible. They looked into every phase of it to see if the things that even Paul or Peter or the other apostles were preaching unto them. We draw strength from reading His Word today. If we're not reading His Word, we're not going to be very strengthened. So it's important that we search the Scriptures like the Bereans, like they did. And so in all of this, we wait, but we wait in a particular way. We wait with thanksgiving. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift that was given unto us in Christ Jesus. We wait while that we are in a state of thanksgiving. And through this month, beginning now, because I know that whenever that we get into the holiday season, and whenever that we get into the rush of going about trying to find that perfect gift, that sometimes our gratitude and our thanksgiving unto God just kind of goes a little to the wayside. Now, maybe that doesn't affect you, but I know sometimes that I find myself in the realm of waiting in line and waiting on this one and getting impatient with this one. And pretty soon I lose my religion. Now, not literally, but I get a little bit, you know, frustrated, almost to the point that, you know, hear me, that cart, get behind me, I'm next in line. That can happen. And we can lose our thanksgiving in that. Thanks be unto God that maybe I'm behind that person. Thanks be unto God. Maybe there's a reason why that I'm having to wait. And while waiting, I think, well, Lord, what would you have me to meditate upon? Upon the Psalms, upon Thessalonians, or whatever the case might be? Sometimes God allows things to happen where that we wait, and it's for a reason. Having to wait in traffic. Why can't they drive any faster than what they're driving? It may be that God is saving me from an accident. It might be that God knows something's about to take place that would be disastrous. And that prompts us to even thinking about our waiting upon God. We wait upon Him for protection. We wait upon Him for our sustenance, such things as that. And we get to the point, hopefully, to where that we wait upon God to protect us, guide us, and lead us in right thinking. We do it with thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving today? Well, it's that part in November where that we're out of school and where that we go to grandma's house or whomever, or we go to friend's house for Thanksgiving dinner, and oh my, I burnt the dressing. It's not going to go well. Oh my goodness, I hope they don't serve green bean casserole. I hope that we don't get into politics. I hope that we don't discuss our favorite teams. That's where that a lot of my team jerseys and everything are stuffed into a closet. But I want you to know that thanksgiving unto the ones that went before us was far more than that. Some of them didn't make it through that first Thanksgiving. Out of I don't know how many, 200 that inhabited Jamestown after the first winter and going into November, there were probably 60 left. And you know, that's something to even also think about and to thank God for. There have been some that have been taken, you know, by an enemy bullet, by a terrorist bullet, by all of those things. I'm thankful today that I've made it this far. I'm thankful today that, you know, that the diseases that are ravaging us, that they're worried about, that epidemiologists are speculating how many of the population will be affected. Will they be ready? Will we be able to handle, if there was another epidemic, can we handle what may come to us? I'm thankful today for my health. I'm thankful today that I'm as well off as what I am, because, you know, things could always be worse. One thing that struck me, my dad always had the habit when he would go to the VA hospital, and it's interesting that we're going to be remembering the veterans, and I think we should. I think we should remember those that put their lives on the line and those that were at home praying for them. You see, it was a team effort. But Dad would take me to a VA hospital with him. And whenever that we were there, he'd go to visit a friend or whoever might be there. And at that time, it was probably some 70 years ago. I'm not going to give you my date of birth so you don't figure out how old I am. But some 70 years ago, we would go through those wards, and I'd hear men gasping for breath. I'd hear men in those wards that you could hear the oxygen tanks as they were doing the breathing for those individuals. And I asked Dad, I said, you know, what is wrong with all those guys? Did they all get pneumonia while they were here? And he said, no, Paul, some of them inhaled gas on the fields of Marne in the Western Front in the First World War, and their lungs will never be healed. And I want you to know, I stopped and listened, and I thought those men laid their health upon the line, and there was some of them that laid their lives on the line. And through World War II, and through Korea, and through Vietnam, and through several other conflicts, there have been those, my friend, that have been dismembered. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on anyone today, but maybe I'm preaching this too soon. But there are people that laid their lives on the line for us to have the freedom that we've got today. And I'm so thankful for that today. And that's why sometimes that I'll buy a meal for someone, and I want it done secretly, because, you know, the Bible teaches us today, whenever you do your alms, do it in secret. Let not the left hand know what the right hand is doing, but I do it in gratitude. It's a very small part, but I do it in gratitude unto them, and I do it in gratitude unto God, who also says that we are to do charity and good for all men as Christ Jesus did. While that we wait, we do good. While that we are in this world, this is the reason why that God saved us and why that God has left us within the world. We're not to sit by and just wait for the second coming. I'm waiting for that. And I've been praying, oh Lord, please, let me be standing upon the face of the earth whenever that you break the eastern sky. And I want to see you come, as Revelation 19 says, upon a white steed with the armies of the hosts of God of heaven coming through to take us home, waiting with thanksgiving, and thanksgiving with waiting. Thanksgiving is a lot more today than just like we mentioned. It's having gratitude within your heart for what God has provided. It's sitting down and really thinking today of the goodness of God. You know, on one occasion, Moses and even Joshua himself said something to the extent that if anybody have controversy with the Lord God, with the God Jehovah, Yahweh, All the names that he is named with that speak of his character and know his attributes today. If anyone have controversy with him, O Israel, let him speak now. It almost sounds like in a wedding, if anybody sees a reason why these two should not be married, let them speak now forevermore, hold your peace. I don't know of anybody today that can bring controversy against the Lord God for all that he has done. And yes, sometimes it looks like things happen to us. It looks like things befall us that we don't count on. And sometimes there's an inclination to want to turn and say, oh God, I'm through with you. I'm going to go ahead and live in the world the way that I want to. There's always a reason why behind the actions of Almighty God. And there's always a time to step back and just look at what God has done. You know, I dare say today that we can be thankful for all that he has done and find more to praise him about than to find fault with him today. I see no fault in him. I see no fault in the things that have happened in history. People will say the famines, the plagues, the starvation, the extermination of nearly 6 million people. But there's always a reason why. And I think if we could pull back the curtain and look, there is a reason why behind, and we give thanks unto him. There was a writer that said in one place, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to add unto that today. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. And thanks unto you, O God, who is above all others today. We have thanksgiving with waiting, and then we have waiting with thanksgiving. And you might say they're just kind of mirror images of one another, and that's true. Because as we wait upon God, we have thanksgiving towards him. And as we give thanksgiving, we are waiting upon him and waiting for him and waiting for his voice. A lot of people like to journal. Now, I always start out, and I get carried away on mine, and then I just have to stop because this isn't exactly what the journal wants to hear about, because I'm bringing a lot of things into it that are really irrelevant whenever that it comes right down to it. We serve a sovereign and a holy God that holds together. I can't even begin to relate that to you, what I feel in that, what I've seen in that, what I've studied in that. He holds all things together, even the smallest part of a molecule. God is actively holding that molecule together. And then if he decides that he's going to do something different with it, make a new compound, he does it. I don't know if you know Dr. Gustavo Nix, but we went to school together. And you know, we would sit at the lab bench in chemistry and we would work on an experiment. And I would just sit back and just look at the perfection of God holding all things together. And Gustavo would turn to me. I guess he was thinking the same thing. And he would say something to the effect of, doesn't even these molecules come together, give praise and honor unto God? And I want to tell you something. For me at that time, it was the most humbling experience that I've ever had. I look at it and I think, oh God, that song is so true. How great thou art, O God. He is holding it together. He's not just flinging it out there. He's not just flung us out into existence and said, you all get by the best way you know how. Do you know that he directs your heartbeat? I'm talking about the physical heartbeat. And someone will say, well, preacher, we hear that yours is not too good. Well, that might be the case, but God has kept me alive, and I am thankful for that. And you know, sometimes I've wanted, oh Lord, just send a doctor from you know, wherever that can cure this. And you know, it might be that it's to be my thorn in the flesh, like Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul got to the place to where that he said, I'm thankful for my infirmities. I'm thankful for the things that have happened to me. And I'm not to say we shouldn't talk about them and talk about the afflictions that we sometimes have physically. But I want you to know that, my friend, God cares for you. And I would not in any way give the impression you should not pray for good health or pray in accordance with God's will. But I do know this much, that through my affliction, and one day it's going to end, and one day it's going to be the last beat, through every opportunity that I've ever had, and I thank God for this today and waiting for Him, even though that I have this, yet I've had opportunity to talk to people about God. And I've had opportunity to look, and some of them are amazed whenever that I say, yeah, there's the EKG reading. I know what it is. And I said, do you know, one of these days this is going to flatline. I'll be out of this world. One of these days it's going to stop. But I said, I've got a better body. It's coming up. I've got a better home. I have an opportunity, and I guess maybe I'm like Paul. They said to Paul one time, your learning has made you mad. Maybe that's what I am, but I may be mad, but I'm saved and I'm ready to go. I'm thankful that God made that provision upon the cross of Calvary, that whatever that happens, that no matter what takes place, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm in waiting. And in that waiting, giving honor and praise and glory unto Him. The Bible says over in one place, let that peace of Christ that dwells within you. What is that peace of Christ? That's being reconciled unto God. Do you know that God owed none of us anything? That He would send His Son into the world. But He has given unto us, Paul says in one place, the ministry of reconciliation, whereby that we ourselves are reconciled unto God. And it is through the mediation of Christ Jesus that from the farthest point away from God to the holiness of God, we are drawn near unto God and we are reconciled. The sin debt paid by the blood of Christ. And my friend, that debt of sin that we owe, Christ has paid for. And He says, by which that you're called in one body. And then He says in Colossians, the very end of that scripture, in 3:15, He says, wherein ye are called. And He says, therefore, be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Now, sometimes we focus. I don't have the abundance I would like to have. I don't have all that I would love to get. And if you get it, that's great. Praise God for you. I'm happy for you. There's not a jealous bone in my body towards anyone who has far more than what I do. Someone said, you mean that you're not jealous of Elon Musk? No. I may never drive a Tesla, but I sure do love to hear about him and hear about the technology that goes into it. Do you know they make the most fascinating noise whenever that they're revved up and going? Wow. I'm just wowed by it. I do not want the millions. I mean, it would be great to have that. But I want to tell you, it's not so much that he's got it and I look like that I'm in scarcity. And there's where the devil gets you, by pointing out your scarcity. Well, now, if God really loved you, You know, he'd give you maybe just a percent of what old Leland's got if he really loved you. Does that sound familiar? It was one of the first lies that were spoken in the Garden of Eden. If God really wanted you to have the best, he would let you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, he's the same. He's got the same. Now, I've got a sermon coming up about Satan and his deception, but nevertheless, we don't focus upon what we do have, what we don't have. We focus upon what we do have. You know, we focus upon what God has given us. We focus upon his goodness. We focus upon his everlasting love towards us. And do you know, his love towards you will never, 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 never end. No matter what comes in your life, no matter what happens, we trust in God and we trust in the attribute of his faithfulness. You know, you could take a book, and I've done this, and just go through all the attributes of God. And you know what happens? Read the last part of the book of John. He says all the things that Jesus did could not be written down within a book. I heard a song that says something to that extent, and it says something like this. It says, you know, if all the sky were a scroll and all the individuals in this world were scribes and all the oceans were ink, the sky could not even begin to hold all that God is towards us. All that God is towards us. Now, sometimes it's a challenge to give honor and praise and glory to God whenever the things are falling apart. Gone through it a little bit. Losing a child's no fun. I can tell you that from experience. But I'll tell you what, God's with you in the tough times. God's with you whenever that you just despair and you can't even know if he's with you or not. God is there with you. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, nor will I ever give way to anything that would separate us. In fact, the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is given in Christ Jesus. Is it possible to wait with thanksgiving upon God? Is it possible whenever that... You know, yesterday I saw something I never dreamed possible. Worry about terrorist attacks in even our area. But you know, is it possible to wait upon God with thanksgiving? Do you know whenever that Abraham was called upon to offer his son as a sacrifice, he waited upon God. In other words, he was active in it. He had faith towards God. And do you know, my friend, because of that, Abraham rejoiced. The Bible says to see the day of Christ. And he saw it. He saw it in him offering his, attempting to offer his son. He saw it in a ram being offered as a substitute. Christ was offered as a substitute for our sins. We find that Hannah was in thanksgiving and waiting. And then along comes the birth of Samuel. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, prophet that ever lived in Israel today. And Mary and Martha were thankful in their waiting and their waiting in thanksgiving. When after, for 4 days, after that their brother had died, Jesus comes that they had called for. Jesus, who had raised the dead for others immediately. Jesus, who had raised my friend the lame to walk upon their feet, the blind to see, the ears unstopped to hear, the mouth open to be able to speak. He healed all kinds and all manners of diseases. But here was Mary and Martha and Lazarus, whom he loved. And here he was, 4 days after that they had called him, and Lazarus had already been wrapped in grave clothes and sealed within a sepulcher. There was a reason for that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Mary and Martha? Do you believe, really believe this? My Lord, by 4 days, he stinketh. He's already decomposed. He's gone into rigor mortis. And there's no way that somebody, but oh, there's where overcoming doubt with faith comes in. Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus. He said, roll the stone back. And as he stood there, he cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And that man that was wrapped in grave clothes came forth and stood there at the entrance. Death had already been conquered, but my friend, the second death would be conquered in Christ resurrecting and coming forth from the grave. But nevertheless, Lazarus stood there. He stood there, unwrapped him, and set him free. You know, And I'll not go into this, but sometimes your faith has to be unwrapped by doubt. Has to be unwrapped by doubt and set free to believe God, thank God, and wait upon God. So as we close our few remarks today, wait upon the Lord in thanksgiving. Have thanksgiving as you wait upon Him. Now you might say, well, preacher, we'll leave here, we'll go out into the real world. We are in the real world. We're in the real world here. But my friend, take the name of Jesus with you. Take faith in Him with you when you go out into what you call the real world. My friend, the real world is faith in the Lord God. It's faith in Him today. And you might say, preacher, does that work for you? Well, let me show you something. I've still got Him. I've still got it. Now, there were times I didn't know where they were. And I said, Lord, You know. And my friend, it might take some... And I said, please hurry, Lord. Because I didn't want Shirley to know. But I've still got Him. And He's helped me. And then I get this from the Lord. You need to hang on to your things more better than what you are. But you know, He still helps me. And you know, if we can't trust Him for the little things, how can we trust Him for the big things? The things that matter eternal life and the difference between eternal life and eternal death. So as we close our remarks, as we said, wait upon the Lord with thanksgiving. And with thanksgiving, wait upon the Lord. Have strength in Him. Thank Him for giving you the breath that you're breathing at this very moment. Thank Him. You may sit down to a Thanksgiving meal of sardines and crackers. If so, thank you, Lord, for the sardines and crackers. Someone said, preacher, you get too silly in the pulpit. Maybe. But you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. Is our daily walk and our daily faith in Him.